This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, everybody. This is your cousin, Brucey, and you are listening to TV Confidential. And now, not confidential, here's Cousin Ed.
Mentioned at the top of the program that Michael Nesmith passed away last week. Michael Nesmith, the wool-headed guitarist of the Monkees, who also pioneered the country rock sound of the 1970s and was a pioneer of music videos in the 1980s. Michael Nesmith passed away Friday, December 10th at the age of 78. Our friend Chuck Harder interviewed Michael Nesmith along with Mickey Dolenz, Peter Tork, and Davy Jones as part of Hey, Hey, Were the Monkees, an excellent documentary on the history of the Monkees that originally aired on the Disney Channel. You might recall that Chuck Harder joined us in the studio back in April 2018 for a two-hour tribute to the Monkees, in which Chuck also performed three Monkees tunes, one of which, Sunny Girlfriend, was written by Michael Nesmith. We will hear Chuck perform those tunes in just a second, but first, as we pick up the conversation, Chuck is providing the backstory of his history with the Monkees.
I've had a strange life with the Monkees. I was a fan for so many years. And then before the documentary, I formed a Monkees tribute band with a guy. And we were called the Missing Links. And we had a Davy, a Peter, a Mickey. I was Mike. And we had a fifth guy on stage who...
I'm holding the CD up to the microphone.
Okay, well, they can't see it, but we looked just like him. And anyway, we had a fifth guy who was Chip Douglas, who could play the extra guitar parts and so forth. And we were really good. We did three complete sets of Monkees material. We were a self-contained band. We all grew our hair. We didn't have wigs. We looked like them, and we acted them, and we were very good. Now, here's the funny thing. At that time, the four of us, the four missing links, not in the red shirts, but in sort of 60s retro clothes, sometimes I'd wear the green hat, sometimes not, we would walk down Hollywood Boulevard or go to rock clubs where grunge bands or indie bands were playing or whatever, heavy metal bands, and we'd walk in or walk down the street, and everybody went crazy. And just walking down Hollywood Boulevard, it's the Monkees, it's the Monkees. And it was people of every conceivable age and race, bums in the street, you know, old people, young people.
Why did you point to me
people
when you said bums?
Well, because you're...
No, I'm just...
No, but it was everybody. It was like as if the Munsters walked down the street.
Yeah.
And
so
they knew who we were.
The funniest looks from.
And we're just monkeying around. But it was weird. We go in, we go to the Rainbow.
Oh, wow.
On Sunset and go there, and it's 1 a.m. Of course, everybody's there on every conceivable... And we'd walk in, and they'd go crazy. Yeah. And all these heavy metal tattooed, you know, I don't even know what you can call chicks, women, or whatever, you know, but they would see our Davy and, you know, and scared him a few times because these biker women were coming up and, you know, he was like, whoa, you know, and they wanted him because they used
they
to watch the show,
yeah.
Right? They used to see the show. And, yeah, they'd leave marks that wouldn't show. No, but it was cool. So we worked the tunes up. So no, we... In that case, we just tried to do tunes from the period, you know, and then we'd change, you know, in the second set, two of them would wear the shirts and we'd change. In the third
and
set, I would dress
you
like,
put on the aviator glasses. And
yeah.
You,
and I would look like Glenn Campbell in the third season with the aviator or the third set with the American flag tie or whatever. But we were quite good. But the key is just, you know, they're good songs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you perform them, they're really good.
But
you know?
It kind of goes back to the early argument. If a tribute band has so many different layers in how they do this, and it's not like you're making stuff up. You're actually paying homage, and there's different layers and textures and all that. Again, why aren't they considered real for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, no, absolutely. And in the case of the Missing Links, we had a difficult time because we had to get guys who looked like the Monkees. Mm-hmm. And people knew who the Monkees looked like from the TV show for so many years. Plus, we had to have guys who could play and sing the parts, and we had to have guys who could be funny. So it was tough. It took a long time to find our Mickey, you know what I mean?
Are you being kept out of the Tribute Band Hall of Fame? Or...
Well, that's we can talk about that after the microphones are off. There were incidents, but it's all behind me now, and I love every one of them.
There you go.
No, I do, but that's the thing, and that's why they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jan and Dean should be in. Tommy James and the Shondells should be in. The Guess Who should be in. The list goes on. Mm-hmm. But they're pop groups with hit singles, and so they're not real. And it's not just the Monkees. The Turtles should get in. They'll never get in, you know, and that is prejudices from the people that run it. And unless they have a Tom Hanks or Ahmet Erdogan got the Young Rascals in or whoever it is, or the Beach Boys got in because Brian Wilson is, you know, a legend and all that kind of thing. So it's unfortunate. But yes, the Monkees absolutely should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were a real rock band. They did it. And Jones got so nuts watching the video that night, he called
the
other three screaming. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, you've got to see this, man. Oh, it was glorious. It was glorious.
We have a listener email with a question about Harry Nilsson. We'll ask that in just a second. But first, I have a question about I'm a Believer. It's more of a comment about an aha moment I had last night as I was getting our show ready. Now, up until last night, I was of the opinion that even though Neil Diamond wrote I'm a Believer, it's his song. Mm-hmm. Having heard Neil Diamond perform that song twice, including once in person, mm-hmm. even though Neil Diamond, when I saw him 10 years ago, puts on a great show, gave you his money's worth, worked the crowd, can still dance and boogie on stage. I mean, great shape, consummate performer, brilliant songwriter. Up until last night, I was of the opinion that Neil Diamond should never sing I'm a Believer because it doesn't sound the same when he sings it until I heard the original cut from one of his albums, 66, 67.
Yeah, when he was on Bang Records.
Yeah, which is almost the same arrangement.
It's pretty close to the same
arrangement. It's very close to the same arrangement.
Right.
And I said, okay. That's different. I mean, that's a good arrangement. Although I still prefer Mickey's voice.
Well, sure, because that's the hit you know, mm-hmm. you know. And Neil Diamond knew Kirshner. Yeah. He had been a staff writer at the Brill Building, and so you know, here's a piece of the pie. This is going to sell big, and so the songwriting royalties, because Neil Diamond was just getting started then. He had a couple of early hits,
Jerry.
So he's starting to go, but. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the songs are good, you know, and that's again, my argument. I still think the TV show is the best thing, but it's really down to Harold Bronson and Andrew Sandoval and a few others who really pushed through that, yes, the music had validity. Yes, it's great. And if younger people who are, and a lot of them are into retro, I guess they call it, they really like it. And it's interesting to look at a YouTube clip of a vintage Monkey song or performance mm-hmm. because comments, the whole world is comments now. I got to write a song called Comments. That's all anybody does anymore. Or MJoy or EJoy. What are those little yellow things? Those things. People send me that. I go, what? Smile faces and they're sneering. I don't get it. You know, I don't know what this is. But now I know. Now I know. But anyway, you look under and you see the comments, and half of them are, oh, I remember that. I was in high school, and I liked it. The other, like, I'm 16. Music sucks ass these days. These guys are great. So it's nice to see young people, if they can see it, or any type of older music, 60s, 70s, or 80s. You know, they see the Bee Gees, they go crazy, or whatever it is. So the music is valid, and it has lasted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know?
We have a listener, Mark, listening to us in San Francisco, has a question about Harry Nilsson, specifically the song Cuddly Toy. Cuddly Toy was the title to a hit song by the Monkees on their Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones album. It was also the first song that Nilsson wrote that went on to become a hit and arguably the song that put Nilsson on the pop music map.
Now, for the most part.
Now, Mark also notes that Nilsson wrote the theme to Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Ah.
And I hadn't thought of this.
Let me tell you about my best friend. He's the one.
And one of the lyrics is he's my pride and joy, my up, my down, my cuddly toy.
Oh.
And so Mark wonders, was that an homage? Do you know whether that's, I mean, because you knew Harry. So was that, do you know
well,
whether?
Well, it never came up, but coincidence, I would say.
Yeah.
Because he had to write the theme for a show about Bill Bixby and a kid, you know, without a mom. And I don't know. I'm sorry, Mark in San Francisco. I don't have an answer for that. But Harry Nilsson was a great writer, and Davey loved him, man. So, yeah, I don't know, but it's a great tune. And Nilsson's version, which is, here's a funny story. Nilsson, I think, had Cuddly Toy in his second album when it first came out, and they pulled it off because the Monkees had the hit, and they replaced it with another track. Anyway, but let's get back to the Monkees show. Can we?
I thought we're doing that.
Oh, okay. No, we're
talking
about the music.
Because the music and the show, they're interchangeable,
I'm
man.
I'm just playing. Oh, my
they're interchangeable, man.
Okay, man.
I just like to say man.
I know. I do too. Everybody should say it.
It's quite addicting.
It is. That's right, man.
Chuck Harder is with us, along with Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen, as we devote this hour to the history of the Monkees as part of our remembrance of Michael Nesmith. Michael Nesmith passed away Friday, December 10th at the age of 78. Take a quick time out, then we'll continue our conversation with Chuck here on TV Confidential.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay Area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.